He a fan. All right, y'all. So listen, we back with another episode. We just be talking. It's your host, Gold. Continuing from the previous episode, which was the thought of dissecting the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. We're going to continue that. First and foremost, I hope everyone's been doing well. I've been pretty good. Work's been pretty busy. This weekend, anyway, I hate how things work. Like, 1 week at work is so super slow, nothing to do. And you just get 1 week that's just piled on. Like, it never fails. But, come with the territory. Anyway, so, last episode, basically, I gave, like, a timeline of events from the whole Kendrick and Drake beef from where it started. Because a lot of people think, like, only been going just for the recent distance, like the first person shooter, which they say that started the whole thing, and then the like that, but really Control way back in 2013 started this whole thing. That's when everything turned the corner. So there's that. So we covered from where the Control up to where we are now. And I believe when I left off the last episode, I mentioned the videos and the video on the concert. Yeah, I mentioned the video on the concert. So, I feel that both of those were like Kendrick Lamar's like victory lap at that point, especially the video. The video was definitely like the victory lap. Like when you see the video, that's all it was. It was a victory lap for sure. So the concert was first. Let's start there. So once all this occurred, Kendrick hosted a concert for Juneteenth. It was Ken and Friends, Kendrick and Friends, and he had DJ Mustard. Who else did he have? Let me get a full list. Hold on. I should have pulled this up. Let's see, full list of Ken and Friends. Let's see, yeah, the pop out, Ken and Friends. He had a lot. He had DJ Head had a set. He had, who all was on there? He had a couple, but it was a lot of West Coast like acts and everything like that. It was basically all West Coast acts. And I think the first act it had like West Side Boogie in it, Rayvon, Jay Worthy, RJ Mr. LA, a couple others too. Then he had Time the Clown came out and they did their then the Hip Hop Clown, they did a dance performance. It was dope. Then they went and they had Mustard had his set. Mustard brought out he had Ty Dolla $ign on there. He had YG, Tyler the Creator was on there. They did a tribute to Nipsey. Ryder Rich came out and they did a couple songs in there because they got a couple hits for them. They got together. Let's say that they got balling together and everything. And then after that set ended, that's when Kendrick came out. Kendrick came out and he started out the gate with Euphoria, which was just like it was crazy. I didn't think he was gonna start off with Euphoria. I really didn't. I was hoping he would, but I don't know why. It's just somebody was telling me, like, he's not going to do that. Like, nah, he ain't going to kill him like that. Like, nah. But nah, he came out the gate swinging, though. He came out the gate, and he immediately had Euphoria. He was throwing a lot of his, he had Euphoria. He was throwing a bunch of his hits from, like, his, basically, he did greatest hits. It was pretty much like it was a greatest hits. And it was like a lot of the songs he performed were like still disses from. It was really disses that from this. It was like the songs he performed, like he set the track list up to where it seemed like it was like every part of the track list was just dissing Drake. And then he would change the lyrics and songs to match things like Euphoria. He updated like the time difference line that he said in there, because Drake was in Houston. So he updated the time difference to just the Houston time zone. He he twisted the Tupac line he said about the Pac ring. He was saying like, you know, if you give Tupac back ring, if you give Tupac's ring back, I might show you a little respect. He switched a lot of lines of like, he was really like letting you know like, this is for you, so it's all gonna be catered for you. And then like the set list of songs he performed was just a bunch of like, the way it structured was just like songs that was like still dissing Drake, cause like he, like Drake mentioned in Family Matters, like he never went back to, he ain't ever go back to his city and plant no money trees and all that. So he performed the song Money Trees, and everything. And that led out to a bunch of the TDE artists coming out with him too, because Absol came out when he performed 616 in LA, which was perfect fit in my opinion, because Absol, with the type of artist he is and rapper, that the segment of the song when Kendrick switches his cadence, when he switches from Drake's verse to his, and he does to God, he says, God, my confession is yours, but who am I if I don't go to war? When he gets to that part, that seemed like some, like, that's the, when he transitions to that part, and then he says one line, what's the line, I don't have the lyrics pulled up right now for me, let's see, three angels watch me all the time, put my children to sleep with a prayer, and close my eyes. Definition of peace. He says that. He says that line, and he says I'm trying to think of. I gotta find it. Let's see if I can get it up quick. Cause I don't want to hold it too long. Cause it's one line in particular. Cause he says about like jumping planets, immortalized. Yeah, he says something. Yeah. Dang, I can't remember the line now. I gotta pull it up. 6:16 in LA. Let's get it up for research purpose, because he says that line, but there's another one on it. Nah, not that. I don't need that. I need the lyrics. Why are the lyrics not popping up? What? That's crazy. When you type it in, it should just be the lyrics be the first thing pop up. There we go. He says, oh yeah, raise my hands to a fall of sky. I fantasize me jumping planets, immortalized. I correspond. Three angels watching me all the time. Put my children to sleep with a prayer. Then close my eyes. The definition of peace. Like that part there, that gives very much so Absol vibes. You listen to Absol's and you know, I'm not gonna dive. Like Absol's like the least popular out of the whole TDE like group and everything. But he could spit. He just had a lot of personal things going on. Like, you know, you just hope that he can. You just happen to see that he around. I'm just saying, you're just happy to see that he's still around. You really do. But he did that part. He had Absol out for that part. Before Money Trees, what was a big hit from Good Kid, Mad City. And he also had Schoolboy Q come out. You know, him and Skipper Q got Collard Greens. He brought out Black Hippie, like a Black Hippie reunion, because that was the little, like, that was the group name, like, at one point, like, it was Black Hippie. It was him. That was like the little group within TED. It was him, Absol, J-Rock, and Schoolboy Q. That was like their little collective and everything. So that was cool and dope. And then Kendrick brought out Dr. Dre, and they performed, and Dr. Dre, and they started, came out with Still Dre. And then after that, they performed California Love. Dre did his verse of California Love. And then before Dre walked off, Dre, do one thing for me. And then Dre, like, something that they should. And Dre came back and did the opening for, not like it was the psst, I see dead people. Like, that line, he came back and did that. And that led to Not Like Us. And he literally performed, Not Like Us. People said five times, but technically it was six, because he did play the instrumental on the walkout. So it was six times that the song played. Five times with lyrics, one time was just the instrumental, which is diabolical. Diabolical, because that's like, it's just insane. But like the crowd was into it. Like when he started playing that, the crowd was into it. The cinematography, like you watched it, because you know, of course, a lot of people watched it, because a lot of people was in Cali to go see it. But a lot of people watched it on Amazon Prime. You watched it. The camera working at it was just beautiful, like everything, like you was like, you could tell it was like a celebration. it was like a celebration. Like, it was just a celebration of like the West Coast, and Kendrick brought out all the people in the crowd. Like, he had Westbrook out there. He had DeRozan from the Russell Westbrook from the, well, now he's with the Utah Jazz, but he's gonna end up with the Denver Nuggets. So we're just gonna say that. But he was with the Clippers at the time, and he brought DeMar DeRozan, who was currently signed to the Sacramento Kings in the NBA. He had them out. He had all the gang members out there. He had them out. It was just a big celebration of like the culture, and like Kim say, like the culture. Like that's what it is. Like, he was trying to embody the culture. Like, he had everything out there in the West Coast. Like, he, you know, letting know like the West Coast unified. Like, cause Drake made references saying like, Kendrick ain't even stamped in on like on the, basically he not even stamped on the West Coast, that, you know, they don't rock him like that. But he used everything to prove, like, because Drake mentioned in Family Matters how it had been, Family Matters and in The Heart Part 6, how Kendrick and Whitney was his fiance, they weren't together, they were separated. He lives in New York and they lived in Cali, and he hadn't seen his kids in 6 months, and all kind of stuff like that, saying he was abusing his wife. Well, not his wife, I'm sorry, fiance. He was abusing his fiance, saying they've been engaged so long but haven't got married, and what's up with that? Like, you know, things like that. Like, Drake was mentioning those kind of things. And that's Drake's downfall. I have to speak on Drake, too. Drake's downfall is always, when it comes to rap beef, is when he mentions the rapper's partner is when the downfall comes. Like, he mentioned Pusha T's wife. And then Pusha T came back with the story of, Adeon, and destroyed him. Like, that's when we found out Drake was a deadbeat father, essentially. So we found that out. He got bullied into being, like, the famous joke is Drake was bullied into being a better father, because he always go too far. And then he started mentioning Kendrick people, and Kendrick like, look, we ain't got to get personal, but since you want to get personal, I'm going to go there. Because he said, if you take it there, I'm taking it further. And Kendrick definitely took it further. Like I said, the only knock I have against, I have one knock against both sides of the table. The only knock I have against Kendrick in this beef is the daughter reference. That's what I have against him. Like, the pedophilia allegations and all that, that's warranted, because that's been discussed with Drake for years. Like, it's been a thing. Like, it's been questioned by years, because it's been a running trend, especially on Twitter. Cause when they did the Surviving R. Kelly series on, what was it, Lifetime? Exposed all what he had going on. People saying, like, yeah, y'all locked into this, but they're surviving. Drake gonna be crazy in a couple years. Like, people saying that. Cause that's been like that's not a joke. But it's been brought up in conversation multiple times that Drake is potentially like, it's been brought up a couple times that Drake is potentially, has messed with underage girls and things of that nature. Like, it's been discussed. So, that was fine. Like, that was fine to bring up those allegations. But the daughter one is just an angle I feel like he shouldn't have taken, because Pusha T already did the, you are hiding a child. And turned out he really was hiding a child from the world, as he tried to spin it, which is also back to Kendrick said, like, you try to spin the narratives and all that. But like, Drake used that to spin. It's just like, you took the same angle as Pusha T, and it's like, where's the proof of that? Like, I would like to see the proof and evidence that an 11-year-old daughter exists that he has. Which, just said again, it's not far-fetched, because I'm pretty sure many celebrities have children that no one knows about. Like, come on now. Like, it's like, you're in that lifestyle. Like, I'm more than certain they have a bunch of them that nobody knows about, or they don't claim. So, of course. And with Drake, I feel like Drake kind of contradicted himself, because in some, his bars that he had in certain songs contradict later on. It's like saying, like, we planned a mole, and then he came back and said about, like, you believe the clowns and all that. But I'm like, it comes out as very much so like a, you were scrambling because, like, you didn't expect Kendrick to go this route with it all the way. And the things that he was bringing up, it's like it kind of caught you off guard, so you was just kind of scrambling a little bit. So I feel like Drake kind of boosted up, like, this red button that he had, which was the Family Matters video, which, again, if it was 95% of other artists, if Drake would have did what he did with the Family Matters video and the visuals for it and the song, that would have ended the beef. It would have been done. Like, it's not much you can do to come back from that, though, because, like, just, you did, he did a lot in that video. Like, between crushing the Good Kid, Mad City van, visiting the spots that Kendrick mentioned in Euphoria, flexing with the rings, and going to, got given the owner of the restaurant that Kendrick mentioned, like, put, like, chaining him with Pharrell's chains and everything, because he's a hip-hop hoarder. I was going to say what it is. He's just vultures. He's a vulture with things like that. Like, Drake is a very interesting guy. But yeah, like, it's just like with that, it's like, you just, he, like, it seemed like Drake problem was he was contradicting himself in the song. Like, he started kind of scrambling. Like, he didn't have as much to mess around with. He made it sound like he did. And it's like, he tried to win the beef more so with being cute. And by when I say being cute, is like, he tried to do it with, like, doing, like, the memes and the visual representation and the strategy of posting the songs, how he was posting them, everything like that. Like, he was being too cute with it, when you could do that with Meek Mill, that's fine. You could beat Meek Mill like that. But when it comes to, like, an actual, like, rapper that's, like, really rapping, you're going to have to win via rapping. And I'm sorry, Drake's pen is not as great as Kendrick's. It's not. It's not. So it's just like, yeah, he couldn't hang with him, like, with the song wise. That's why it kind of, like, flamed out with the Hard Part 6. The Hard Part 6 messed up Drake, because if he would have just got Phantom out of us, let Kendrick drop Meet the Grounds and Not Like Us, and then kind of chilled out a little bit, it would have been fine. But with the Hard Part 6, it's like, you contradicted yourself, and also it's kind of like you bowed out, like you threw up a white flag, kind of. That's what it gave off. And yeah, it's just like the tail end of the songs was just kind of like, okay, like, this needs to stop at this point. Like, it's time to end it. Like, honestly, there's been rumor about Drake dropping a new diss song soon, like a new track soon, or a project, and, like, throwing subliminals or, like, direct shots at Kendrick and Rick Ross and others. But I honestly feel like it's time to just let that one go. Like, you gotta count that one as an L and go on about your business, because, to be honest, this beef is not going to kill, no matter the outcome of the beef, whoever won, it wasn't going to kill either one's career. Like, this whole thing, narrative of Drake's giving Kendrick's career a renaissance or a revitalization, like, I don't think that's true, simply because, like, it's literally, as far as rap, like, I know Kendrick said, fuck the big three, it's big me, but as far as, like, the rap goes, as far as, like, the three popular ones, like the three of the old guard that's still around, is literally, I guess they're the old guard now, but as far as, like, the main popular ones is Kendrick, Drake, and Cole. Those are the three. It's like, I don't think, like, no matter who won the beef, it doesn't matter. They're still going to do what they do. Like, Drake is still going to do his numbers when he drops his own stuff and not, like, features and stuff like that. He's still going to do his numbers. I don't think Drake's numbers are going to, like, suffer tremendously. Like, if Drake drop an album in a couple of weeks, it'll still do numbers, especially considering what's going on right now currently, because this beef is helping both of their numbers. It is. Because people are interested to see, like, are you going to respond to this? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Like, people are going to lock into that. It's just going to happen. Like, if Kendrick were to drop an album tomorrow, like, if Kendrick were to drop an album tomorrow, it would do crazy numbers, because people would click onto it, because right now Kendrick is, like, the hot thing right now. Like, just is. Like, I'm not like that. Not Like Us, it's literally dominating the airwaves right now. Like, Not Like Us is, like, everywhere. Like, you go on anything, you're going to see or hear Not Like Us. Like, If I were to scroll on TikTok right now, I'll see AI covers of random things singing Not Like Us. Like, there's literally like a version of the water, of water, pour, of water being poured, like making the Not Like Us song, like making the words. Like, it's literally stuff like that. Like, AI is insane. That's another issue in the hand that we need to get under control, but we're too far gone at this point. It's only gonna get worse. But yeah, like it's everywhere. Like, even with the Olympic games right now, like the exhibition games for the USA basketball men's team, they were playing, where was it? Was it Serbia? It might have been Serbia they played, because I think it was yesterday. And literally, they had Not Like Us playing, like, in the middle of, like, the, like, I think it was, like, the end of the game, or, like, in the, during the timeout, they had Not Like Us playing. Like, it's just insane. Like, you can't escape it. Like, they have, like, the memes going around. Like, I think a soccer team posted, like, Not Like Us, but they won a match in one of the cups they had, like Copa America, another one I think they had going on. But yeah, it's just insane right now. Like, Not Like Us is like literally taking over, and everybody's saying like the whole I'm tired of hearing it, this and that. But like, this is kind of how it used to be. Like, it really brings a lot of nostalgia back to it, because back in the day, when you heard a certain song, like when a song was hot, you'll hear that song for damn near the whole year. Like, it wouldn't matter. Like, you're just gonna be tired of it. You're gonna hear it a lot. But we're in a culture now to where it's a microwave. It's a microwave society. Because I had a conversation with a friend at work, a couple weeks ago, and he was asking me about like that. I feel like it was like a little, you know, too much and all that. We was discussing it, and I was like, nah. He said, yeah, I agree. He said, because I remember back when I was younger, like, you hear a song for the whole year almost. It was a popular song. I said, yeah. I said, back then, like, if a song was hot, you was gonna hear it the whole entire year. Like, it wasn't a thing of like, oh, it's popular for now, I'm gonna hear it for like a week or two and then move on to the next thing. Like, it wasn't like that. But I was like, we done gotten the point now to where everything is served in short form content, and like attention spans are so minuscule now. Like, it's just to the point to where like you receiving information constantly through the social media, so much, such a huge influx in information you're getting brought in, to where like you don't have time to really lock in and focus on one thing. Like, it's just the one thing has come out, and then something else replaces that, and it's forgotten about, and then something else comes out and replaces that. It's just a nonstop cycle, and it's quicker than it used to be. So that's why it's like a microwave society, because it's kind of, you know, it's just short term, quick and easy, and then you move on to the next thing. Like, that's it. Like, it's no long prep. Like, we're not prepping anything, we're not letting it marinate, none of that. We just throwing it in, put it on 2 minutes, pull it on out, and that's it. Like, that's pretty much how things have gone in recent years. And that's like due to just things in general. Like, it started kind of like with the Vine era, I would say, like around that, because it was kind of when we started leaning towards shorter form content. You only had how long, y'all? I forgot. Y'all don't know. If you listen to this podcast and you around my age or older, you remember Vine. You only had like 10, 30 seconds to do a video, and then that was it. You was done with it. It wasn't long. 7 seconds, something like that. It was a short amount of time. It was short form content. And it was like 7 seconds, I think. We 7 to 10 seconds. Yeah, it was super short. It was a short time span. So we had that, and that started it. Then Vine died. And then we also incorporated too with Snapchat as well, because Snapchat was, you post a picture, it's only up for a while. Like, if somebody send you a snap, you can just see it one time, and boom, that's it. Then also, you had like the introduction of like stories, like on like Snapchat too, like a Snapchat story. You had that, and you posted it. It's on there for a day, then it's gone. Boom, it's vanished. Then you had Instagram. You had you know, Instagram started using stories, and then Facebook used stories, and Twitter tried to use stories, but nobody goes on Twitter to post stories. That's a bit excessive. But yeah, you know, it's just a lot of quick, like, put this out, okay, it's there, it's been a day, take it down. Like, it's been quick. Like, we've been programmed now to, like, not, like, we've been programmed to move past things quickly. Like, we just see one thing, and it's like, what's the next thing going to replace that? We're like, it's just a matter of waiting for the next thing to replace it. So it's kind of like a in one ear, out the other kind of thing. Like, nothing really sticks nowadays. Like, everything kind of just comes through and passes. Like, nothing really has, like, staying power as it used to back in the day. Like the last song I remember that really was like this, where rap wise, like hip hop wise, was Old Town Road. Old Town Road, cause that song, that was like a year of that song. That song took over. That was like a whole year. Then they had the Billy Ray Cyrus remix. Yeah, that song was crazy. They had the world in the chokehold. I remember that time. That was a crazy time. That wasn't that long ago. That was pre-COVID. Post-COVID made things worse too with the short form content, because people started flooding it, because you had so much time on your hands. So everybody started doing like TikToks and all that, and yeah, it's just how it happened. But yeah, it's just like we just live in a society now to where think content is so short lived, to where it's like people have a problem with things that last. And I honestly don't feel like it's a problem. Like not like this is a problem. Like, I enjoy the song. It's a very catchy record. It has a lot of clever bars in it. It's a diss song, yes, but it's still a vibe to me though. Like I like, it's a nice song. I enjoy it. Kind of like Back to Back. Like Back to Back was a whole diss song, but it was just so catchy and just like funny. Like it was just nice. Like you hear that like in the club and anything like that. Like Back to Back was like that was a hit. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But I just feel like we are just so used to things being short-lived, to where having something like this that has some staying power makes people feel as though like it's being dragged out, or Kendrick's milking it and this and that. When you can make the same argument for Drake. Like Drake had Back to Back at that Meek beef. He milked that for quite some time. Like went Back to Back and all that dry. So far to the point that Back to Back was nominated for a Grammy. That's why Drake's whole thing about Kendrick opened his mouth, someone gonna handle a Grammy right now. Like that whole thing, I'm like, okay, but at one point, Drake, you the same guy that said, I never threw away the paper with my Grammy speech because I haven't hit the pinnacles I plan to reach. So your goal was to get Grammys at one point. So why are you upset because Kendrick gets some more frequently? Like, yeah, like that's just, you know, the Grammy is, I'm just gonna say it, it's basically ran by white people. Is it like white people? And the committee, and Kendrick, white people have a very strong allegiance or thing of allegiance to history or things they feel fine like historical. So Kendrick, the topics that Kendrick raps about on some of his albums, you know, I feel like they gravitate towards that more than Drake. Drake is more a hit maker. Kendrick's not really a hit maker, you know. Like, I feel like Kendrick's stuff is more conceptualized and it's more thought out. As far as Drake is more so nowadays, he's not really more like conscious heavy. He's more just what's a hit at this point. Like putting out a hit record, like what's gonna be catchy. Like what he had, like Tootsie Slide, like he had that song. What was another one that he had that was a hit recently? Well, not recently. So he had like recently, Drake. Yeah, well, I can't think of Drake hits right now, because it's just, at this point when Drake dropped albums, like, damn, the whole album chart. So it's like, I can't even really think of what was like a big, big hit, because there's so many of them now, because he comes out with music so frequently. That's another thing, too. Kendrick doesn't drop as much as Drake does now. At one point, Kendrick Lamar was dropped, like, I think I spoke on the previous episode. Kendrick was dropping a lot when he first came out. He was dropping a lot. And the longest break he's had between albums, I believe, was Damn and Mr. Morale. I believe those were like the biggest gaps in his discography as far as projects goes. Let's see. I need to list of his discography. I need that. Yeah, so he had Section 80 in 2011. And before that, he had the Kendrick Lamar EP was in 2009, I believe. But they don't even list that. But that was like in 2009. He had that. Yeah. Because he had C4, which that's K-Dot, which people don't talk about that. He had that one. Because his first project was Youngest Head Nigga in Charge. I actually have that tape. Wouldn't recommend it, but I actually have that tape. Then he you had Training Day. I had that one too. I had Training Day. Let's see. He had No Sleep Till NYC. That was with a collab with J-Rock. That was in 07. These are all mixtapes before people even knew who Kendrick Lamar was. This is when he was K-Dot. He wasn't even Kendrick Lamar yet. He was still K-Dot. Then he had C4 in 2009. And I think later that year, he dropped the Kendrick Lamar EP, too. Because that's when he switched to Kendrick Lamar. That's when he went to Kendrick. Because he was K-Dot. Because people, fun fact about Kendrick, people think that K-Dot is just like a thing he just came up with us on the spot. But I'm like, no, that was his original rap name. His original rap name was K-Dot. And a lot of people don't know that. But yeah, his original rap name was actually K-Dot. And yeah, nobody realized. I think a lot of people don't know that. Cause I see when I tell people that, a lot of people are like, really? I was like, yes. Yeah, Kendrick was, K-Dot was a funny time for Kendrick. That was when he was still trying to get his identity and everything as far as like who he was. And then he dropped the Kendrick Lamar EP. And that's when he kind of, you know, accepted like, you know, I'm not Wayne. I'm not Jay-Z. I'm Kendrick. So that's who I'm going to be. Yeah, because he dropped it. Yeah, he dropped Kendrick Lamar EP in 2009 as well. That's why he said since 2009 I had this bitch jumping. Because, you know, that's when he embraced Kendrick Lamar. So, I guess layers to these songs. It's layers. I'll have to spend another 2 hours on the episode breaking down every song lyric on there. Like, and that's too much. I'm not doing that. And then in 2010, he dropped Overly Dedicated, which is another mixtape. Then he had Section 80. Section 80 was next. Section 80, let's see, what grade was I in when that came out? It was a summer because I went to a Florida, family trip to Florida when that came out. I listened to it that whole week. So that was 2011. Because we went every odd year. It was every odd year we'd go to Florida as a family. So that was 2011. Then 2012, Good Kid, M.A.A.D City came out. Then he had a 3-year break because he toured and all that. And he had To Pimp a Butterfly. That was in 2015. I remember that because that one was still during the times when things leaked. And To Pimp a Butterfly leaked early. So I remember that. To Pimp a Butterfly. Then we had a 2-year break. And we had Damn. That was in 2017. Then, yeah, Damn was 2017. And I think Black Panther album was 20. No, I'm sorry. I'm tripping. Kendrick was dropping every year, literally, because 2015, we had To Pimp a Butterfly. And then 2016, we had Untitled Master, which was a throwaway from To Pimp a Butterfly. And then the following year, he dropped Damn, because it dropped randomly in April 14th. Damn dropped. And then he had the Black Panther soundtrack of 2018. So Kendrick was dropping. That's what his whole thing about Kendrick Lamar doesn't drop music. He doesn't drop music. I'm like, Kendrick was dropping a project every year at one point. He had a span where he was dropping every year. Like from 2015 on down to 18, he dropped every year. That's enough music. Like this is another thing with the Microwave Society. We're so used to stuff just coming out and people putting songs out. Like Drake puts out albums damn near every couple of months, seems like Drake's putting out an album at one point. Like Drake puts out a lot of music. Like he floods the market with music. It just is what it is. And we're so used to that to where we think that's the norm. But like a lot of people, like we used to have to wait for projects. Like it'd be like once a year or once every couple of years we have to wait. But like Kendrick was dropping for a good bit, but he took a break. Then he was going to drop, I believe he was going to drop in 2020 was a rumor at one point. But, he was going to drop around that time, but the pandemic pushed it back. So that delayed his drop because he was going to drop earlier, I believe, than that, but that kind of put a hole in everything. So that threw everything out too. The whole dropper thing is like with Kendrick's career being revitalized by Drake. That's false. That's not true at all. Like if Kendrick drops, he's going to get, it's going to be talked about. Yes, people didn't like Miss Morale and the Big Steppers because that album was more of a personal album. I find that in today's climate, people don't really rock with the personal albums. Like, same thing with J. Cole's For Your Eyes Only. People, when that came out, they didn't like hated that album. And then people defended it saying, it's a personal album, so it's not really for it. He did it for him, for his own mental and everything. It was like, yes, like that's art. Art is an expression of oneself, an imitation of life, all these things. Like, it's one, that's what it is. Like, it's expression. So everything's not meant for us to understand fully. Like, it's just us being, I guess us being presented a side of someone or something. Like, we're just being shown, like, where they're headed or where their thoughts at and things like that. Like, that's pretty much how it go. But as far as, like everything not meant for us to understand, some things are just personally for the only person that knows the true meaning, purpose, and intention behind any form of art is the artist themselves. Like, unless we're told what it is, we just conceptualize and just think of, like, okay, I think this is where they're going. I feel like this one that. And then they come out and say, well, actually, you actually thought of a good way. Like, that's cool. But what I meant when I said it was this. So, you know, again, that go back to my point that I make a lot nowadays, which is perspective. Like, everything is based on perspective. So how I seen one thing and how someone else views it could be two completely different ways. But that's when you have, you know, that discourse and that, you know, that conversation that you're going to learn, like, different viewpoints and mindsets, and, you know, come to a common ground and you grow from. You take something from them, you grow, use that to grow. Or that could be something that you use to prepare you somewhere, like, prepare you for somewhere in life. You know, that's how I look at things and everything like that. So, let's see, we have that. So, the whole Kendrick Lamar revitalization thing, that's false. I don't believe that at all. Because Kendrick just had, like, a year ago, he just had the highest grossing tour by rap artists, like, ever. It was surpassed recently by Drake's It's All a Blood tour. So, again, like, this goes back to the big three. Is Kendrick, Drake. It's 1A, 1B, 1B, 1A, however you want to view it. That's up to you. And then you have Cole. Like, all of them are, they in that realm. And yeah, I just think that's just crazy to say, though. But it's these, like, I realize, too, that a lot of the people discussing this are Gen Z. So they didn't really get the Kendrick Lamar experience as, like, us millennials did. Like, it's different. Because they really only know Kendrick for this point. They really only know him for, like, you could say Damn, for in some cases, but that and Mr. Morale, they didn't really go through, like, the Good Kid, Mad City, Section 80, stuff like that. They didn't really, you know, that's not something they really experienced. So you can't really, like, they were around when it came out, but at the age they were, they didn't really get to, you know, like, they didn't really get to experience how, you know, us older people did. Like, us older, I say older people, but, like, older generations did. Like, they didn't get to experience the same way. So, and also, I ain't gonna lie, comprehension is at an all-time low. So, that's another thing. And I feel like if it ain't one fish, two fish, rare fish, blue fish at this point, it's get lost in translation a lot of time because people just whatever. But, yeah, it's just you got to look at the times, too, when Drake has been around, and on Drake, on the other hand, he's been existing in their entire time span. Like, they've always heard Drake. Like, Drake drops so much music. Like, I don't think people realize, like, how much he drops. Like, excuse me. And it's impressive, but it leads to a lot of just fluff. Like, Drake has a lot of fluff in his catalog now, and people don't want to admit it, but he does. He has a lot of fluff in his catalog, and there's no knock against him because he's a hit maker. Like, that was his thing, which is funny because he got outdid in his own niche with Kendrick beef, which is also funny layer to this as well, that Kendrick ended up having the biggest hit out this whole beef. I expected Drake to have the biggest one. Like, I expected Drake to drop, like, a crazy, like, banger and all that kind of stuff, but it just didn't manifest because Kendrick responded so quick to what he killed. Any momentum Drake was building up, it kills it so quick. But, yeah, it's just, like, he really beat Drake in his own game with it, so that's why it's kind of like a thing. That's why I say, like, as of right now, Kendrick won it. Like, he won this beef. Like, he won it. I don't think it's over. I do think Drake is going to drop some subliminals or he's going to make a direct song to him. I think it's going to come out at some point, or I feel like they're going to drop projects real soon. I really do. I feel like projects are coming from both of them. I feel like Drake and Kendrick are both going to drop projects in the near future. Like, I feel like that's the next stage of this beef. Like, we done got through the jabs, like the, you know, the boxing. We got through a couple rounds, but like we gotta see the conclusion, which I think it culminates in an album drop. So I honestly believe that both will drop an album. It's just a matter of when. And I honestly feel like it's gonna be a thing of like whoever drops the album first, the next one's gonna drop theirs immediately, like same day or a week after. It's gonna kind of be like that Kanye and Drake beef. I think that's the next thing, because Drake mimics his beefs perfectly. Like, he does the same thing in every one of them. Like, he always does like the subs, and then he drops the diss, and then if he feel like he can bear, you can do the back to back. Or he'll let it simmer and he'll wait for the sponsor, or they'll die down after that. So I feel like, with Kanye, it was more of a, I'm gonna do a sub towards you, you do a sub towards me. We both own subliminals and all that kind of stuff. We're doing that. And then I'm gonna drop my album, you drop yours too. Like, that's why I feel like it's headed now. I feel like we're at that stage now where albums need to drop. Like, we need projects. And that leads me on to the next point, which is the Not Like Us video, because the Not Like Us video had buku extra things and definitely references and little shots towards Drake in it. Like, I'm gonna go through this one quick too. Like, the Not Like Us video, we're not gonna be long on this. Like, he started off, he started off with the. The snippet of the new song, where he said like he was reincarnated. People were saying that that's kind of like a tie-in from Drake's Pusha Family Matter song, where at the end he was like, you're dead, like saying he killed them. So it was saying like Drake said he killed them, and they said Kendrick started out the next one saying like, nah, like, you can say you kill me, but I'm always gonna come back. Like, you know, I'm reincarnated. Like, I've come back in another life and all that kind of stuff. So that was a nice little tie-in. Like, that's not confirmed, but people try to connect that together. And it has some weight to it. So I was like, you know, that's a good point. Like, you know, it's interesting that he started that one off with saying he reincarnated and all that kind of stuff, saying like, you know, Drake and all that. I do feel like a lot of this is reaches, though. I don't give all this 100% stock. I feel like a lot of it is like some reaching. Sometimes I honestly feel like we overthink, because it's Kendrick, we overthink a lot of his bars and everything, because it's Kendrick. So he's known for the double, triple entendres and all that kind of stuff, and the metaphorical references and everything. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you get to the point where you overanalyze what he's saying, when like he might not be going that deep into it, or you might be misinterpreting the entire way he's trying to spin this. But he had that was pretty interesting. The snippet was fire too. Like, I hope he dropped. I know he's not gonna drop the whole song. That's why I hope he has a project soon, because if he has a project he's rapping over West Coast beats, for the culture, I would love that, because Kendrick on West Coast beats is an animal. Like, that's insane. Like, when he rap over West Coast style production, is he on a different level? Like, it's crazy. But yeah, he had on the references like the doing push-ups on the center blocks. That was like referencing push-ups, Drake's first diss song and everything like that. He also had like the studio speakers around, because he was like, I know my picture on your wall when y'all cooking up and all that. So it's kind of like another little diss saying like, nah, like it's not that deep and all that. He had doing the wop 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 that fuck him up part. He had like a pinata of an owl with the little goofy as hell. That was pretty funny. He had that going on. He had certain people wearing Canadian paraphernalia and things like that. Like, DJ must have had a Blue Jays cap on. Drake's from Toronto, the six. Another little diss to it. And let's see. What else did he have in there? He had the shipment container section was very, very funny. Cause it was not funny. it was just clever because it went over a lot of people's head initially, I believe, because the part with the storage containers and everything like that, they had, like, if you look on it, they had CB1 on it, CB-1. You better ever catch in cell block 1. They had that on there. But also the storage containers was like a hint towards like human trafficking and everything like that, like, you know, like child trafficking. It was like crazy. I like at first when I watched it, I was like, what's the point of this part? And I thought about it, and I was like, wait a minute. I said, this is like you're trafficking humans. And then you got the CB1. I didn't realize the CB1 at first. And I was like, wow. I said, that's wow. Okay. So I think that's the section of the video. That's what he was referencing that. And then he had the A minor section. He was playing hopscotch and all that. And yeah, that was that was just funny. That part was funny. Like, yeah, like, wow. Like, you really going for it, Kendrick. Then he had a lot of the West Coast legends in the videos and everything like that. He had a lot of people, and there's a lot of West Coast folks in there. Like, he had different people in there that made cameos. It was goes against what Drake said, how, like, you know, TDE don't rock with him and all that, but all his people was there supporting him. Like, all his people he came up with. Like, everybody said was, like, not really with Kendrick. They all showed out for Kendrick. So it kind of goes like a, like, yeah, Drake, you just saying stuff. We go back to what Kendrick's saying, like, shake the stories how you want. Drake did not slow, which that line, unfortunately, from Kendrick, that line aged kind of poorly, too, because they've been proven they kind of slow. Because the stuff I be seeing about Drake and Kendrick just is insane. I'm like, there's no way y'all believe this. There's no way. And what else did he have in the video? He had the owl at the end in the cage, which is, yeah, he just diabolical. Like, a lot of the things he put in the video were very calculated. And then he had it, he had him, Whitney, and his kids. They were all, like, crip walking and blood walking. Like, it was it was just crazy. Like, it was a lot of he used that as, like, the victory. Like, the video is true to, like, the final slap around on the track, because he was just, like, insane. Like, it was just a lot of disses towards Drake's and subliminals and everything, and the references were funny. I do feel like he could have went further with the video, because people saying they were disappointed and saying they feel like he could have did more with it, but I think he did enough. Like, the man's already down at this point, so why, like, you're already kicking him, so, like, it's fine. Like, you won. Like, I'm not gonna knock you that much for that. Not at all. Because it matches Drake's Family Matters video. Everything that Drake did, Kendrick matched it. Which has shocked me, because I didn't expect the video. I didn't expect Not Like Us, and I didn't expect the video. I didn't expect that song, and I did not expect the video either. I didn't expect that. That was different. I thought it was going to end after Meet the Grams. And, yeah, I was wrong, because Not Like Us caught me by surprise. It did. And like I said on the previous podcast, like, as far as the songs go, I feel like it's like Euphoria. Let me think, I'm not even changed up a little bit. As far as, like, the best songs out of it, as far as, like, just, like, overall, I feel like it's Family Matters and Euphoria are, like, the best songs from there. No particular order, but those are just the best two songs out the whole disc. And then I feel like, as far as popularity goes, on Drake's side, I guess you could say Family Matters is kind of was a hit. I feel like Push Ups was supposed to be the hit, and I think it was, but I think it's another thing. Like, a lot of stuff has gotten, like, knocked down throughout the beat, too. I feel like Push Ups was a hit, in my opinion. I feel like it would have been the hit song, but it's just that Kendrick dropped so quick after Drake would drop, it kind of killed the momentum he had. Like, it's one of the things where, like, you had to be there when it initially happened to understand. Because in history, it's going to look as though, like, dang, like, those songs are kind of weak. But when they dropped, they weren't weak at all. They were really, like, good songs. They were good, clever songs. Like, Drake did fine. Like, he was fine. But, yeah, it's just one of the things where it's like, now it's like, I don't know. It's hard to. It's gonna be interesting to see how this beef ages. It's gonna be interesting, because it's like, I feel like if you, like, we're experiencing it in real time, so we understand, like, how it went. But later on, when you look at the timeline of you explain, you be like, you hear it, you be like, man, I don't know. I feel like this is kind of weak. Like, Drake kind of was weak on that. Well, Drake wasn't. He did. He was doing well. It's just the response times were so fast. It was just so quick to where, like, you didn't, he didn't have time to even breathe or let a song, like, marinate. Like, it was just, like, quick to the point. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm interested to see how this beef matures as time goes on. But that brings us to my next point, which is like just rap in general right now is just like rap to me has been a bad spot for quite some time. So I feel like this beef is honestly like the best thing to happen to rap in quite some time because we needed it, because I feel like rap has become like everything else. It's just microwavable. Like, it's just whatever is a catchy 2 minute song I can put on TikTok, I'm going with it. We going for it. We done. And I feel like a lot of music doesn't last or have any staying power, especially in the hip hop scene, because it's just like we're flooded by like these angry screaming, just random sound effect, ad lib feel music. Got your TikTok, the songs you make a TikTok video on, so that gets a little traction. Like that Nasty Girl song, that one has been everywhere. Yeah, it's just right now it's not in a good spot to me. I feel like this is just how it is now, and I accepted it. Like, this is just how rap and music is now in general, and you just gotta find redeeming qualities and stuff you hear and be like, okay, well, I can listen to this. That's what I do nowadays. I really just listen to it and be like, okay, I know things have changed. I'm not going to be the old head saying, this ain't music. I'm not doing that. I just keep it. I compartmentalize the different eras and everything like that. Like, do I find myself listening to, like, older artists, like the ones that I grew up on? Yes, but I feel like that's part of, like, just life in general. Like, you grow, like, what you grew up is what you're going to prefer a lot of times. Like, that's just how it goes. And I just can't get with a lot of this new rap that we have going on, because I feel like it's just a bunch of, like, just nonsense. Like, it's literally, like they say, mumble rap, but it's worse now. Like there's only so much of Sexy Red I can handle. Like, I can't. Like, I'm like, it's just, yes, it's catchy. You can say it's catchy, but I don't want to hear that. And no, it's not because it's a female artist. Like, I don't have any problem with female rappers. I think female rappers are dope. I love that we had a renaissance of them. We have a good bit of them. Actually, the rap girlies actually running right now for the most part. You know, it's kind of died out now. But for a minute, the rap girlies was running things though, because we had Lotto. I gotta mention that Sexy Red was in the mix. Meg is always around. Nicki Minaj had her album drop, so she's still floating around there. You had the City Girls, they rock with them. Now JT is the one everybody loves. JT doing her solo thing, so she's around. Cardi B has been teasing an album for 20 years now. She might drop it, who knows? Or music in general. She drops a song every year and then disappears, so she might be around. But, you know, we had a lot of Flo Milli. Like, there's a lot of, like, Flo Milli doesn't get the credit she deserves, too. I feel like Flo Milli is a very, like, she's around, but I feel like she should be more discussed than she is, in my opinion. I feel like Flo Milli is very much so, like, underrated. But, yeah, like, we got a lot of, like, rap girls out there now. And that era was cool. I forgot they had Ice Spice too, but who cares about Ice Spice? But yeah, like they have all these artists and everything. They kind of was running the chart. They had all the hits. Like, if you would turn on the radio, you're going to hear straight female rappers. They all had hits, because you'll hear at one point, oh, Glorilla. How did I forget my girl Glow? How did I forget Gloria Hallelujah? How I forgot her. My girl Glow. Glow be killing it. I fuck with Glow though. Glow hard. Like, I'll put Glow. I got Glow on, like, playlist. I don't even care. I ain't got no shame in a minute. I listen to Glow. I rock with Glow. But, yeah, you know, like, because at one point you was hearing F&F. Yeah, you heard that on the radio for a minute. Then she then Glorilla had Tomorrow too. Cardi B was on there. Lotto had Put It On The Flow. Bitch From The South was another song she had that was popular. I think now she got the other song, that Big Mama song. I think that's the newest one that I be seeing girls post a lot now. Saweetie don't do numbers, but they be liking Saweetie songs. They do. They be liking Saweetie songs. Cause that 90 song she got, the 99 song, whatever it's called. Like, I hear that in the gym, which is insane. I walked in the gym and heard, I said, wow, this is in the gym now. Okay. So heard that. That's on there. Who else? Of course, Sexy Red always has a hit somewhere. Like right now, she has You My Everything. But we all know the infamous Pound Town. That song is just, yeah. We had that. What else she had? She had F My Baby Daddy. Get It Sexy. Get It Sexy. Yeah, that was the other one. Almost forgot about Get It Sexy. That was one before You My Everything. So yeah, she have a hits. I'm not gonna lie to you. She have her songs do, they get viral, they hit. So I can't deny that. I can't, no matter how much I want to, I can't deny it. So but yeah, like a lot of rappers don't, yeah, we don't really have many. Like the new, like Lil Baby kind of whatever now. Da Baby, he still does features that's pretty solid, but as far as like projects, he had to have a project that stayed in a very long time. I don't think he dropped a project in a minute either. He may have, I'm not up to it right now. Yeah, like a lot of the people that was newer coming up, they kind of was just like microwave. All of them was microwavable. None of them stayed. Roddy Rich had one album and fell the fuck off. You got like your, what his name is, Yeet. You got like them dudes and everything, but it's whatever. But you still got your conscious style rappers too. Like you got like Jid or JID. He's cold. Like JID is very nice. He's underrated. He's very nice. You have like him. I'm trying to think of others, but I can't think. I'm drawing a blank right now. It's also 2 a.m. while I'm recording this episode, so my mind's kind of drawing a blank a little bit, but y'all get the picture of it though. But it's just the way I see it now, bro. Like what you hear out in mainstream and public eye is just like, you know, brain rot music a lot of times. But there are still artists out there that drop projects that were in the limelight, but they no longer really are. That drop projects that have substance and some, you know, quality to them. You just have to, or they exist, it's not in the limelight, but you just have to look and find. That's how it is with music in general. Same thing with like R&B, neo soul. They have people that still make this style of music. You just have to go, you gotta go past the surface level and you gotta deep dive into it to find some of these artists and everything like that. Like a few of them are mainstream, yes, but in order for, if you want that to fully, like that's what you really lean towards, what you want to really like listen to mainly, you have to deep dive and find artists that cater to what you want. Like, because there's someone out there that's doing this style of music that you like somewhere. You just got to find it. That's the part. Like, if you can find it, then by all means, you're good to go. It's just a matter of actually wanting to do the hunt and finding it. But it's just, that's just music in general now. Like, it's just what we are now. Then same, it's just art in general. We just in a point now where it's kind of like so much has been done already to where like people just trying to do stuff now to just get it, like get some kind of traction. Even with movies, like it's a reason why a lot of movies now is just being remastered or remakes or continuing series that last had a movie 40-odd years ago, 20-odd years ago. Like, it's a reason why, like, stuff like that is getting brought back. Because, like, there's only so many ideas you can make. There's only so many. It's like, it's going to repeat itself at some point. Like art is going to repeat itself at some point. In some way, shape, or form, it's going to repeat. Or it's going to get brought back. It's a trend. The trend will resurface and be revitalized at some point. Like, everything, things go and come back. There's only so many ideas you could realistically make as humans. Like, we've been around for thousands of years at this point. Like, we, you know, there's only so much you can think of as a society before it kind of gets to the point where it's like, we got to start going back into the well and, like, bring stuff out to vote, you know? Like, just it's just how it goes. But that's my spiel on the whole between Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef and just rap in general right now. I just feel like with the beef as of right now, I give the edge to Kendrick. And that's not even a shot towards Drake, because I feel Drake did very well in the beef. I just feel like he got to rap. He has to rap. Like, the memes and stuff is cute. The memes and the IG posts and all that and the little captions, they're cute. And they would have been better against a rapper of different calibers. But you're dealing with a rapper. Like, it's you gotta spit, Drake. Like, guys just rap. And I feel like at this point, he kind of just, like, whatever with it. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I think he kind of don't want to keep diving into it. So, it's kind of like a thing of he kind of done with it. So, you know, it's kind of like a bow out kind of thing. But I feel like both did well. It's just that now I feel like historically it's going to be a thing of Drake songs didn't age well, even in this short time span, like, they didn't age well. So that gives people a bigger knock against them. But Kendrick has some holes in his side too. It's not just one side, like, both of them have holes in their side. So it kind of was about even for me. I just feel like with this video and the way people rallying behind Not Like Us and everything like that, and the whole OVO movement and Freak Ass Niggas, 69 Guards, all that, I just feel like that kind of put Kendrick ahead for now. Because like I said, I don't think the beef is decided. I don't think they're done beefing with one another. I think it's going to continue. But I think for right now, Kendrick is on the high right now. And at this point, just when is Drake going gonna clap back at this point? Like, that's pretty much what we're waiting on, because I don't think it's done. I don't think it's done. But that's gonna wrap up the breakdown and my thoughts and opinions of Drake and Kendrick's current beef. If anything else were to occur with it, if anything drops, I will make another episode on it, because you guys really enjoyed part one of me giving, like, the timeline. Like, I appreciate it. I got a lot of good feedback and a good response for it. It was received very well, even more so than I thought it was going to be received. So thank you all. I appreciate it. Like, y'all don't know how much it means, because like I said, the podcast is, like I said all the time, it's my baby. So whenever I'm putting out stuff and at least one person enjoys it, like, if one person enjoys it, I completed my mission. That's how I look at it. It don't need to be, I'm not worried about everyone loving it or one or two or no one at all. Like, as long as one person got something from it, and that's any episode of the podcast, then I'm satisfied with that. Like, I'm happy. I feel like I did my job and my mission. I completed my mission. So thank you again. Appreciate everybody. Next episode, I'm probably going to do Friday. I'm going to try to see how Friday uploads go. If Friday uploads are cool with y'all for the podcast, and I'll stick to Friday. If not, I'll go back to Wednesday. It's really just a thing of which one is more preferred. So we'll see. But with that being said, I'm going to bid you all adieu, because it's almost 3 in the morning and I need to sleep because I got to go to work tomorrow. So not work tomorrow. I got to work in a couple of hours. So let me wrap this up so I can go ahead and get ready for bed. So appreciate everybody stopping by, listening. Again, the podcast, I'm going to keep it going. We're actually approaching another anniversary. By the way, before I go, I'm about to end it off. We're actually approaching the anniversary of the of We Just Be Talking. I think it's 4 years I'm going on now, I want to say. Let's see. I'm pretty sure it's four. Yes, it's four. No. Is it? Because we in 2024. Shit, I think this is not. No, I think it's more than that, actually. Let me see. I got to go to the first episode of We Just Be Talking, which was on the 25th of August in 2019. So we're going on year We're going on year. Wow, year five. Wow. That's right. I missed the anniversary last year. That's right. I did. I didn't do an anniversary episode last year. Wow. I skipped a year. That's why I'm thinking four. It's really five. Wow. 5 years and we just be talking. That's crazy. That's wild. Y'all really been hearing me just say shit for 5 years. And me and B. You know, B hasn't been on the episode in a long time. But, you know, things happen. My dog be busy. But, damn. Damn, that's a lot. I didn't realize that. Like, yeah, we had a lot of, wow. Yeah, 5 years. Wow, okay. I'm sorry, y'all. That caught me off guard. I didn't realize it's been that long. Wow. So, you know what that means, y'all? 5 years. That means that we got to do a big for the fifth, for the 5 year. So, stay tuned for that. But that being said, I am going to call it. So, y'all be easy. Make sure you take care of yourselves and each other. And I'll see y'all next time. Peace out.